Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. In the last chapter we were introduced to the throne and him that sat on it. They had just thrown their crowns down and said, "You are worthy." And here he has a book.
With writing on the inside.
And on the outside and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. It is sealed up. When they would seal letters and stuff in the old days, they would pour hot wax on it and press
into that wax a ring or some other unique object that would leave a unique impression. And the idea was that someone without authority to open would think twice, because if you opened something you weren't authorized to open, well, the seal would be broken and questions would be asked. So in this case here, we have a book which we can only assume God has sealed. With seven seals. It's really closed up tight.
So this is a book containing important information, not for just anyone. Verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" So you see there, the one who is calling out who can open it is strong. This is a big, tough angel with a loud voice. Say, okay, who is worthy?
Come and get it.
Intimidating. So that the unworthy dare not approach. Verse 3, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Under the earth means in the grave. And Paul, you said there are the, before the resurrection there are no men in heaven, but it says here, no man in heaven. First of all, I don't say it. The Word says it.
And secondly,
well, the word man doesn't occur there. That word man isn't anthropos, which means man. It's audice, which means no one. No one. I mean, none of these elders, none of the angels, none of the beasts. So no one in heaven, nor in the earth, nor under the earth, which is where the dead are, was able to open the book. They looked around. No being, no human being, no one dead, alive, or in heaven, no one. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither looked around. He looked at that book with those seals, and he wanted to see it opened. He wanted to know what was inside.
When something is sealed like that, it begs to be opened. And when such care is given to safeguard something, it's very obvious how truly important it is.
It was written with many words, and he thought, oh my God, what is in that book?
That it should be sealed in such a way, except
that it should be opened. Verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. He is descended from David, and he is prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals. So he is the one who has the right. He is the one who is worthy. He is the one for whom this information was sealed, that only he could open it. And so in the midst of the throne, interestingly, here he saw a man on a throne from chapter 4. He saw him that sat on the throne. There's a throne, someone sitting on it, the beasts around about it, the lamps of fire around about it. And now we see in the midst of the throne, instead of this figure of power that we saw before,
or rather the figure on the throne is surrounded by powerful imagery,
but the one on the throne is not described. No description given. It just said, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. There was somebody sitting there. He didn't
see enough of him to give any details.
There was so much brightness around the throne. He was like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow like an emerald. The person on the throne was not described. He was just there. But it's obvious who he is. They all throw their crowns before him. They cast their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord." So this is God.
Now in the midst of the throne we have
something else appearing. The Lamb. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Christ is in the throne with God. It is written that he is the image of the invisible God, because God is invisible. No man hath seen God at any time. Yet, in the book of Judges, and also in Genesis, we see several different people saying, I have seen God face to face, and I have not died. He saw a man, an angel, but he said, I have seen God. And they believed that if you saw God, you would die. And they did not say this every time they saw an angel. But according to the scriptures, no man has ever seen God, but he thought he saw God. When people were walking the earth with Christ, they saw Christ. And Christians, we believe he's God. He is the image of the invisible God. That God himself, the actual nature, the Father himself, is invisible. That is his true nature. He is not seen. Things that are seen are things that are made. Things that are seen are things of this world on which light reflects. And they have an appearance. But God is not of this world. He created this world, so there is no seeing. And when you see an angel of the Lord come down and wrestle with Gideon, or wrestle with Jacob, when the angel of the Lord comes like that, and it is declared to be God, this is an image of the invisible. This is the Son of God. The image of the invisible God is the Son of God. So when you see the figure on the throne earlier in chapter 4, that is also, in my mind, the Son of God. The visible person in the throne is the Son. Because the Son proceeds forth out of God. All visible forms of God would be the Son of God. Anything that you could see, because he is the image of the invisible. When God takes on a form, that is technically the Son of God, because that is not his true nature. As soon as he starts to manifest himself, he is becoming visible, he is becoming relatable, he is becoming the intercessor between flesh and spirit, he is becoming that go-between. You know, there is a mediator type thing. Anytime you have a visible appearance of God, that's a form of mediation.
I'm not saying that the Son of God is a form by any means. He's not just a form. But while he is not merely a form, he is a form. He can be touched, seen, handled.
Because man, if he sees God, he'll die. So God takes on a form that will not kill man.